You're listening to the Dorkcast, found on every major podcast streaming service, especially Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. The Dorkcast is written and produced by your host and yours truly, Liam Dorr, and is recorded in the heart of Manhattan. And welcome back to the Dorkcast. Today's guest is an expert in the field of dating, even going as far as to claim to be an expert in the social science of traversing the New York City relationship scene. Whether you're a gooey romantic or a frequent flyer in the world of dating apps, this Loyola alum and native New Yorker, Emma Jansen, has the answers when it comes to your love life and a facelift that it desperately needs. Emma, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Liam. How's it going?
No complaints. How you been?
Good, good. Can't complain.
So just right out the gate, what does it mean to understand the field of dating more than the normal person?
You have to have a lot of experience. I think that's the only way that you can call yourself an expert. I've been at it for almost a year, so I think I have some experience. I think it also takes a good number of bad dates to truly become an expert.
So what categorizes a bad date?
It could be any number of things. It could be, you know, tons of awkward silences. You could have political differences that could really get in the way.
Isn't there a rule, no politics on the first date?
Sometimes it comes out. You can't even help it.
On your side or on theirs?
Mostly on mine. I like to ask like the real hard-hitting questions right away. So.
Oh, so that's a vetting process then?
100%. Yeah. There's a lot of things that I kind of look for right away. And sometimes you got to dig a little deep right away to get them.
Interesting. So what makes the New York City dating scene different than anywhere else in the world?
I mean, I think just the sheer amount of people that live here and like all the different neighborhoods, the boroughs, you know, people who have been here their whole life, people who have just moved here. There's a lot of different kinds of people that you can meet.
Are the people's personalities different depending on where they're from? So would someone maybe from Murray Hill or Kips Bay be completely contrast someone from the Phi Di area or Hell's Kitchen?
It's definitely possible. I think I'd say that Murray Hill and Phi Di, you know, you find similar guys there, but someone who has purposely moved to Williamsburg is definitely going to be different than the guy who's purposely moved to Murray Hill.
What's the process for someone 20, 22, 23? They've just moved to the city. They know their friends. They have their small group, but they want to start going on dates. They want to be more social, getting into that dating scene. Do you think they should be jumping immediately to the app, seeing what's best there, or is it a networking process?
I mean, I think that in COVID, the apps are really where it's at because, I mean, before a couple months ago, you couldn't really go to a bar and meet guys or, you know, go to wherever you meet guys. So I think that the apps are a really good way to meet people. I mean, there's so many problems with them, but if you go on, you know, there's going to be people who are interested in going on dates and interested in having a good time. So I'd say that's definitely where to start.
So take us through the apps. What's offered right now?
Okay, so my personal favorite is Hinge. So Hinge is more relationship-based. It's like advertised as the app meant to be deleted. So you're supposed to find, you know, your future partner there. Then you have Bumble, which I'd say is kind of the next step down, kind of like between dating and hookups. It's still swipe based where Hinge is more like based. Bumble, you know, you might find some guys who are serious about a relationship, but a lot of the times it's just hookups. And then you have Tinder. Tinder is, I mean, I haven't used Tinder since college. I don't really, it's not what I'm looking for, but if you want, you know, a quick margarita, then I'd say Tinder's for you.
So what is the number one? You said Hinge is the number one for you. What's the number one attractor for it?
For Hinge, I'd say it's more guys who are looking for something serious, maybe exploring relationship or a more constant like dating, really getting to know each other.
Do you think that these apps have done anything to our culture, to our young culture, to devalue relationships or see people as less human?
I think definitely, just because a person is taken so far out of context on a dating app that, yes, they almost do appear not human. They can advertise themselves one way and then they'll be with their friends and they'll be acting a completely different way. Yeah.
Take me through, since you're the expert, so take us through the worst possible New York City date you've ever been on.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been on like a worst possible New York City date, but can I give you like an imagined scenario?
And was an imagined scenario?
Like an imagined worst date ever.
Okay. So what would you categorize as the worst possible date in New York City?
Okay. I'd probably start it off as you're talking to the guy on an app and he like gives you nothing. You're like, let's go out. He's like, okay, where do you want to go? You're like, I don't know. What do you think? He's like, I don't care. We can go wherever. Automatic bad sign. I truly believe like if a guy wants to see you, he'll be willing to put in the work and put in the plan. Then I think honestly, right off the bat, if they don't give you a hug when you first see each other, another bad sign.
Really?
Yes.
You know, I will say that a lot of guys are probably afraid to do that.
Why?
Well, because you don't want to overstep a boundary. Especially if you're meeting through an app and not someone like, obviously if it's a friend of a friend or someone you've talked to before, someone you've known kind of fringe, it would be okay if both parties are okay. But there's a lot of confusion and a lot of apprehension in that.
I could definitely see that. But I think that initial point of contact to show, okay, we're here to connect. And yeah, I think a hug can say a lot, and then it gets the date started off, and then, yeah, well, it can go good or bad. You want me to keep talking about the bad?
Yeah, keep telling us how bad it can get.
Okay. I mean, right off the bat, like, there's definitely potential for just no conversation. If you feel like the guy's giving one-word answers, like, you could ask them, like, what do you do? Oh, I'm in finance. Okay, cool. Tell me about it. Like, I really think that a terrible date would be one word answers. Then if there were like just major differences in opinions, like if I was like, oh, I love TikTok, and he was like, I hate TikTok, I would never download it.
Really?
That's not even like being open for debate or open for conversation. Like, I think there's potential for such strong differences in opinions that could create a bad date.
Couldn't you make the argument that in this situation it's an opposites attract type deal?
Not if the other person isn't willing to even have a conversation or like a debate about it.
And so this is a dinner, right? So this is...
Oh yeah, I'm imagining dinner. Yeah, I mean, there could be so many things. You know, he could go on his phone. That would be horrible if he was on his phone texting, if he took a call in the middle. This has never happened to me, but that would be horrible.
And then it probably would just get cut off there. Like, you'd have your dinner, say, have a good one, we'll be in touch, and then just you wouldn't. The date ends and you have decided that you're not going to be moving forward, right? What is the best possible path to go on? Do you think that there's merit in saying like, hey, it was nice meeting you, but I just don't think that you and I are the right fit? Or do you think is just best to let it fizzle and just not respond? I know people call that ghosting.
Mm-hmm. So I've gone on dates definitely where I already know that I'm not going to want to see them again. But I have never said at the end of the date, hey, this was fun, but I just don't see this going anywhere. I always leave it at, yep, good night. And then if I don't want to see them again, I just let it fizzle, kind of goes. Sometimes I do like send a text, say, hey, I really enjoyed it, but I don't see this going anywhere. But I have been known to ghost after first date.
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of tweets and a lot of screenshots of tweets on like Instagram meme pages, whatever. And they said it'll show a message sent by someone that says something like, "Hey, it was nice meeting you, but I'm going to be real with you. I didn't really see a connection. So I don't think we're going to be moving forward. Nothing wrong with you. It's just that there was really nothing there for me." And the caption on these photos are, as always, like, "This really, really hurts, but this is the nicest thing you could possibly do." In your experience, is there merit in that? I think there probably is, but you tell me.
I definitely think so. I think that text is like so courteous because you never ever know how the other person is feeling, and they usually don't know how you're feeling. So yeah, I think if you feel like it's really not going to go anywhere, kind of the least you can do is send a text saying you don't see it.
Okay. And then so on the inverse, can you walk us through the best possible date in New York City?
You know, I honestly say I've probably had it.
Really?
Can I dive into the story?
Yeah, absolutely. Go crazy.
So this past school year, I'm a teacher. I had an incredible coworker, and she happened to be swiping on Hinge one day and found a guy that she knew from college, and she wasn't interested in him, but she texted me saying, "Hey, you know, would you be interested in this guy? He's really cool. I went to school with him. Like, let me know if you think he's cute." So I responded. I was like, "Yeah, he's cute. I'm always down for a new date. So just let me know. Give me his number, whatever." So she decided to go above and beyond with this. And she planned a date for us without knowing anything going into it.
So the perfect date for you is somebody else doing the work.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, not necessarily, but this perfect date that did happen. Yes.
All right. Keep it going.
So she told both of us, me and this guy, to meet at a restaurant in the East Village. And before I left work that day, she gave me a stack of cards that were basically clues and kind of prompts for what to do and where to go next. So I carried this stack of cards, not knowing what was on them, to this date. And I showed up and he was sitting there and he was cute. He hugged me. Okay. Then.
So off the bat, he's got points for that.
Exactly. And so we sit down and that's when we're supposed to read the first card. First of all, she picked this awesome place. It was in the East Village, and it had good kind of nighttime vibes, a little bit intimate, but definitely still fun. And so when we first got seated, we had to open the first card. And the first card said, "The youngest person orders the drinks for the two of you, and the oldest person orders the appetizers." So right off the bat, that's fun. You get to ask them, you know, what they like to eat, what they like to drink. But it's also fun because there's like decision making, and then you get to see if the other person likes what you ordered. And I must say, this date wouldn't have worked with anyone, but this guy that I was on it with was super down for anything. And I think that's really what kind of sealed the deal, because just like me, he was open to it and he was ready for this experience. So then the next card was, we had to take a shot. Then after that, and that the cards each said like a time. So after 15 minutes, take a shot together. Then an hour after that, we were supposed to go get dessert.
If I could just interrupt for a second, are these cards, were these specifically made by your coworker for this date, or is this like a produced game? Is this something like, really? So it's not like a do or drink or Cards Against Humanity type thing. She actually took the time to write these out and schedule them for you.
Yep. And so I am willing to give them to anyone who needs an amazing first date. But yes, she took the time to craft them for me and this guy. So then after, there was just an appetizer and drinks. It wasn't dinner because we met a little bit later at like 8. After drinks. She prompted us to go get ice cream. That didn't end up working because the place was closing, whatever. But then the next card, we were supposed to go to Barcade, also in the East Village, on St. Mark's Place. If you are in the city and you are looking for a fun date, I cannot recommend Barcade enough. It's a bar with an arcade. And who doesn't love that?
I kind of figured from the name.
Yeah. So we got to the Barcade and we got a drink there. I was already very drunk at this point because we had had two drinks and a shot. And I didn't eat dinner, but that was my own silly mistake. But we get to the Barcade. He pays for everything. He paid for the drinks. He paid for the tokens. And we start playing games. And that was fun because I suck at games. So it was funny. He was teasing me. And like, I was seeing that what games he was good at. And we were just having so much fun. And I think that an activity like that can be really important on a first date because it really helps to break the ice. So then after the Barcade, you know, there might have been a little smooch and then we went home and there was a date too.
Really? Okay. And that's the ideal date. So let's explore that because it sounds like this was all very set up for you.
Yes. Yeah.
So you had a Ted Mosby in your corner who was planning all of this crazy stuff for you, who got everything prepped at minute. It seems like down to the minute, actually. Mm-hmm. So that seems like the perfect date when you have an amazing friend, but what's the best impromptu date? So if he was the guy, if the guy was the one choosing where to go, what to do, or it was you choosing and you didn't have it set up for you, what do you think is the best trajectory for a date night in your own mind? And it can be as broad or as narrow as you want.
Okay. Generally, I think dinner and an activity.
You don't think dinner is hackneyed at this point?
Why?
Well, like dinner and drinks, isn't that like the standard? That's the way dating has been for the past 1,000 years?
Absolutely. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh, good. You know, because I do see a lot of people in a lot of like articles online, they'll say like, the reason you shouldn't go to dinner with her on your first date, or the reason he shouldn't ask you to get dinner and drinks on the first date is, and then they give a bunch of semi-acceptable reasons, but all of them kind of root back to the fact that that's like the generic thing to do. But I don't really see anything else to really get to know somebody on a first date than over dinner and drinks.
Right. I think that, I mean, you could go drinks if you're not ready for dinner, but I do think that setting, one-on-one, facing each other, you have nothing to do except for get to know each other. I think that's really, really important.
And then what's the worst possible location or venue for a first date? A movie?
Yeah, probably. Then there's absolutely no way to get to know each other unless you're those annoying people who talk during the whole movie.
Oh, and then you're perfect for each other.
I guess. But no, it's not just dinner. It's dinner and an activity.
Okay, so can the activity be really anything though? Because so, especially since it's New York City we're talking about, is walking down by the water considered an activity or does it have to be something grandiose, you know? Fireworks over the New York skyline.
I think that walking by the water is a perfect activity. This same guy that I was set up with, so the first date, the activity was the Barcade. We have gone bowling, which I personally love. That's a great activity. A lot of the times guys are really competitive, so whether you think that's attractive or not, it's fun. I think that mini golf is a really fun activity, a picnic. I mean, that could be dinner and an activity in one, but yeah, I think the activity is important to kind of see them in a more social context rather than just dinner.
And then this is on the first or second date?
Yeah, I think definitely it would work on a second date, but if you have a good feeling about the guy, I think it could work on the first date.
And is there anything morally ambiguous about the idea of dating, like dating around in your 20s? You know, like, oh, I went on a date, you know, with this person on Tuesday, and on this person I'm meeting someone else. So is there anything wrong with you're seeing this person on Tuesday, you're seeing that other person on Thursday, you're kind of seeing, weighing your options, see who's doing what. Is there anything wrong with the, in your 20s, almost shopping around, almost window shopping in the dating scene?
So I think that's a really good question, and it's something that I've definitely thought about a lot. I don't think there's anything wrong with going on multiple first dates kind of consecutively. There's definitely been weeks where I've gone on two first dates, and I really don't think there's anything wrong with that, because you're not telling anyone that you're committing to someone after the first date, unless it's really, you know, like love at first sight. But then, you know, after 3-4 dates, it kind of becomes a gray area. You really have to have that conversation, like, are you seeing other people? Do you think we should be seeing other people? But I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with going on a bunch of first dates just to kind of see what you like.
So at what point, we've talked about the apps, the Hinges and the Tinders, at what point do you think both parties should be deleting these apps or deactivating? And actually, that is a two-part question, because is there a difference between account deactivation and full-on deleting?
Yes. Okay, that's very layered. So first of all, it's different for every single relationship. Definitely sometimes it's hot and heavy right off the bat, and you could have two dates and both say, hey, I have no interest in seeing anyone else. I can't give a benchmark, but I'd say by the fourth date, it's a good thing to bring up. Maybe say, hey, are you still seeing other people? What do you think we should do? But I think that pausing, because you can pause your profile. So pausing your profile, maybe after three dates, deleting once you've had that conversation and said, I'm really not seeing other people. Some people, you know, it's either the connection or, you know, some people are just inclined to get more serious sooner. There's nothing wrong with that.
Do you see, you know, you were born and raised in New York, right? Mm-hmm. You're a true New Yorker. Do you see your generation as this novel, new kind of technology-infused, less structured in terms of dating? Or are we just the next notch in the trajectory of people dating in the future? Is your generation, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, are you the forefront of this new world of dating? Or do you think that every generation prior has had that thing that makes dating easier, a thing that makes dating different?
I definitely think that the way dating is now is not going to change for a while. I think the addition of cell phones and texting and social media has made dating so much more difficult, but probably easier in some ways. I mean, my mom tells me stories about how she had a long distance boyfriend and they had to either write letters to each other or call on their parents' home phones when they were like in college and high school. And meanwhile, I'm getting upset if the guy that I'm talking to doesn't text me back in 20 minutes. So it's good and bad. It's good because it does like allow you to get to know someone faster, you know, make plans more efficiently. But it's bad because you expect so much information and so much contact when sometimes that's not for the better.
So the 72-hour rule is dead.
What is that?
So the 72-hour rule is a pretty old rule that says after your first date, you don't call to ask out on another date for 72 hours at least.
Okay, that does ring a bell. I think my dad used that on my mom. But yeah, I honestly think in the age of texting, that is not useful anymore. I think that if you go out on a good date, you might text the next morning, hey, thanks, when can I see you again?
Is there a time that you shouldn't, like, is there a buffer period where you shouldn't say anything to the person you were just on a date with of like a certain amount of hours or until the next calendar day, something like that?
Yeah, I don't think it's always useful to text as soon as you get home from a date. I think that there's value in kind of letting it simmer, thinking about it on your own, how you felt about the date, how you think it went. And then I think, yeah, the next calendar day is probably the best way.
So there's no, you know, the night of texting at like 11, 11:30, hey, I had a great time, blah, blah, blah.
No, you can totally do that, but I wouldn't have a whole conversation. Like I usually would text and say like, hey, I got home safe. I had a great time. Would love to see you again.
Okay. So what is New York specific in the dating realm? So the first thing that comes to my mind, and this is only because I've seen it in movies, I've seen it in TV, is the horse and buggy through Central Park overdone. Is that, am I taking that from TV? Because I see your reaction and
yeah,
I personally think it's great. I think it's a really cool thing. Old school. You got the guy wearing the top hat and the scarf. That's just me. But you're immediately shutting that down, aren't you?
I mean, I guess I wish I could. I wish the podcast listeners could see my face right now. As a native New Yorker, I would never, ever do that. First of all, it's so expensive. It's something like $10 a minute or something. Second of all, the horses smell. Like it's not like nice. It's gross. Third of all, I don't know, just walk.
But the whole idea is you're on the buggy and being given a tour. Okay, so what is I'm a native New Yorker. I want to go on a cool, very New York specific date. And obviously I don't mean going to Times Square or going to the feet of the Statue of Liberty. What is I'm a New Yorker and this is a very cool New York thing to do?
I think walking. Like if there's one thing that New Yorkers are good at, it's walking. I love to walk around Washington Square Park. That's a great date. After me and the guy I was talking about, after our second dinner, we went there and it turns into like a rave at night in the summer. So Washington Square Park is definitely cool. A walk along the East River or the Hudson River. I just think that that's cool because, you know, when you're in New York, you feel like you're just surrounded by buildings all the time and looking out onto the water is something really special and unique.
But where is the destination? Like, where are you walking to?
Well, you're just like walking. If you walk along the Hudson River on the West Side Highway, say from around Chelsea, like in the 20s down to the West Village, through the Meatpacking District, I think that's really nice. You don't need a destination. You just need the water and a path.
What do you think what do you think area wise? So you have your Chelsea's, your Fidei's, your Murray Hills, things like that.
Take that up.
What?
The Lower West Side. I saw that on your
Yeah, I you know, I meant to say like it's in the comments. I meant to say east. I just was thinking west. And like
right, I know.
And they got so mad about that.
The Lower West Side like does exist.
It's Tribeca.
It's just not called the Lower West Side.
That's fine. I mean, look, it exists, so I don't feel bad about it. And two, I don't know why everybody got so pressed about that.
New Yorkers are just like, they feel so much pride and whatever.
So in terms of the places in New York, I guess, would you call them districts?
Neighborhoods.
Neighborhoods. What are the best and worst neighborhoods for first dates?
I think that the East Village or the Lower East Side are really good neighborhoods just because they have a ton of restaurants. If you wanted to go to a bar after, there's no shortage of bars. The West Village is probably the cutest neighborhood that you could go to. So if you're into, you know, brick buildings and ivy covered walls, that would be a cute place to go on a first date.
And then where should you avoid?
Definitely avoid Murray Hill as much as you can. I live in Kips Bay, which is right next to Murray Hill. There's restaurants, but it's gross. It's just gross. So, yeah.
Really? What do you think about Thigh-Dye? I know Thigh-Dye is a heavily contested place. A lot of people either swear by it or they hate it. What do you think for a first date in Thigh-Dye? I know Ampia Rooftop, beautiful. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there with some friends one time. It was amazing. I don't know if it's a first date spot, but what do you think about Thigh-Dye?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, rooftops are great. Thigh-Dye, you know, that couldn't be farther from where I grew up. So I have not honestly spent a lot of time there. I know that a lot of Chad bros live there. And there's not that many bars, not that many restaurants, as far as I've heard. I mean, there's just definitely more in the East Village. Honestly, I wouldn't be trekking down to Thigh-Dye, but I also don't live close to there. But if I lived there, maybe.
Now, I know a lot of people who live there say this, and obviously it upsets a good number of New Yorkers. So, one, is Hoboken, Jersey City, the sixth borough? And two, would you ever consider a first date as a New Yorker in New Jersey?
Nope, never. I do not consider it a sixth borough. I don't really know why anyone would. It's a different state. And I once matched with a guy from Hoboken and, you know, nothing ever came of it. So I don't really think that Hoboken is for me.
You would never take the path across the river?
No, because I have this stunning, beautiful, crazy city at my fingertips. Why would I need to go somewhere else when they could come here?
So for you, I'm getting the sense that it's a lot about your own personal sense of like self-worth, self-value. Is that important in the dating world, to have that kind of pre-established before you meet the person, or at least think you have like a set of standards and things like that?
Yes. Oh, definitely. I mean, there's like always this saying, like, you can't love someone else until you truly love yourself. That's very extreme. But I think that you definitely need standards, and you definitely kind of need, well, you don't need to, you know, if you're first starting dating. But I think as you get more serious and as you're looking for a relationship, it's so important to know kind of what your red flags are and what you're really looking for. I usually base it off of, would I be happy or proud to show this person that I'm dating to my friends and to my family?
So what are now these red flags? Are they malleable? Or basically what I'm asking is, when it comes to these red flags, are a few of them okay if there are other things to compensate for the good? If more green flags pop up, can those overshadow the red ones?
So there are yellow flags and there are red flags. And of course, like you said, there are green flags. Honestly, off the top of my head, I don't have any red flags that aren't super extreme. You know, obviously if they are a convicted felon, that's maybe a red flag. But there are some yellow flags for me that, if they do those things or if they have those qualities, but there's a lot of green flags, then I can overlook them.
Could you actually tell us what a yellow flag is? I'm actually not familiar with that term.
So a yellow flag is kind of like a malleable red flag. So it's something that I wouldn't look for ever, and it kind of turns me off, but it's not going to be a complete deal breaker. Like, I'm not going to say I'll never see you again.
So what are some examples?
So one of my biggest yellow flags is a picky eater, because I'm a very, very adventurous eater. So if someone will only eat, you know, burgers or chicken fingers and French fries and doesn't like vegetables, I love oysters. Like, if you don't like seafood, I just think that's kind of like, grow up. So that's a yellow flag for me.
But it's not compromising. So you could still tolerate it, but it's something in the back of your head.
Exactly.
It's not a date ender, but it's definitely something that gives you pause.
100%.
Now, how many green flags, how many amazing things about someone do you need for the yellow flags to kind of dissipate?
of course, it's different from every situation, and it kind of depends on the intensity of the yellow flags, you know? So I think that if someone were a super, super picky eater, but they were driven, they were outgoing, they could make me laugh, they were kind, they were, oh, another random green flag. Like, if you're nice to waiters and waitresses and bartenders, that's a big green flag for me. So maybe this sounds so picky, but like maybe 3 green flags to every yellow flag.
Okay. So we have the ratio. All right, good. That'll be, that's what everybody should be operating off of now in New York, the Emma Jansen standard. Yes. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Or rather, I think the single people of New York City will appreciate it. I wish that people in other cities could take anything from this, but it seems like this has been a very New York specific episode.
It's been a pleasure. And honestly, I don't know. I said different activities, different tips. I think that people all over the globe could take knowledge from this podcast.
It's a pretty bold statement, Emma. You really are in love with yourself, aren't you?
I am, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
If you enjoyed that last episode of the DoorCast, please go and subscribe on whatever streaming platform you're using. We can't make it happen without you. And this will also entitle you to updates on when new episodes arrive on the platform. Thanks so much.